prevalent all across the nation. Moving at the speed of light, so amazing. Any trial, tribulation that we facing, come and take a ride with me, we escaping. To be with the Lord and His creation, and the righteous from all generations. In the scriptures, it's vivid like a painting.
Ah, we made it to the show.
Fantasy Baseball Life, Dynasty Baseball. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on my Twitter handle. It's at Starks_industry. You can also find me on Instagram, m.starkspowell. I'm not here alone this evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in the fantasy world. I have Jacob, the White Knight. How you doing today, brother?
No, I'm doing well, brother. Happy to be with you fellas talking about the sport we love.
Nice. Not only him, but I have the content legend himself, Micah Henry. How you doing today, brother?
How's it going, man? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Bored, but I'm doing well. We're here talking about baseball.
Awesome. So, yeah, this episode, this is pretty much like the real official release for New Life Fantasy. That you guys need to check out newlifefantasy.com, join the mailing list, join as a member for free, helps our site to continue to grow. With this new podcast, it's going to be actually pretty enormous. And baseball in particular, it's one of those most underrated sports that I don't think a lot of people speak about, especially in the fantasy side of things. This episode in particular, we will talk about, you know, some of the ADP value of players and what, obviously with the COVID-19 going on, where their value may stand. And if we think some of these players right now, the ADP could be a reach, or could it be a coupon cut, I would like to say, or value in a bargain that we can get. So we'll name a few players. And real quick, Micah, where can they find you at on Twitter, man?
You can find me at Fantasy Central 1, number 1.
Awesome. Jacob, where can they find you at again, man?
You can find me on Twitter at Ain't Done Yet, and Done is spelled D-U-N-N-E. I'd love for you guys to follow me and ask me any questions you have.
Awesome. So, Mike, I'm just going to go ahead and throw you the ball here and pitch the ball down the middle to you, man. Do you have a player that you definitely want to speak to or speak about in this coming up fantasy season, man?
Yes. I'm going to talk about Whit Merrifield and why I just think he is just somebody you should not look at, especially at his average, you know, draft position. Per Fantasy Pros, he has one of, I believe, 57.8 right now. And that's around guys like, you know, Moncada, Vlad, Olsen, Bichetti, Machado, even. And guys like that, you know, they've proven they can, you know, do this year after year. But they didn't really decline from yet last season coming into this season. You have guys, you know, Merrifield, he declined in speed. His stolen base went from 40 to 20. His sprint speed declined. You know, it's a good lineup he hits in. You know, fun guys to hit around, but I just don't think you can count on or bank on 30 stolen bases, you know. That's a guy I really, you know, have been trying to get people to avoid for a good reason, I think.
Nice. Jacob, any thoughts on that, on top of that?
Yeah, I definitely – so I agree with you to an extent because he is age 31. You know, like people might be surprised by that because just because he bursted onto the scene only like a few years ago – but he is a late bloomer. So, you know, like 31-year-old who are coming off of a down season as far as stolen bases, it usually doesn't go up. So I do agree with you there, Micah. I do think that you can expect at least 25 stolen bases is probably his ultimate ceiling if the manager is more willing to have him run, because he wasn't really – willing to have him run last year. So I do agree that his current ADP is a little rich, but I wouldn't mind taking him probably in the 60s or 70s if he falls that far, which he probably won't, right?
Right.
I haven't seen him, yeah.
Go ahead.
I haven't seen him fall that far personally, but yeah, I agree.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those times where we come on a guy that I'm sure we're going to all have some type of disagreement on. But I actually with you also on here, Micah, I just – from Whit Merrifield, in a sense, his obviously, like you had mentioned, his speed is kind of tapered down. What, 2018, he had 45 steals this past year, 2019, 20 steals. That's a massive drop-off. And honestly, in the values, in 2018, that was like what? When he had 45 stolen bases, that was like third-round value, close to second-round value in 5x5 leagues. So that is something to really take notice of. Now, he obviously took that dip in production. And, I mean, he's going to be a good average hitter. At least you'll get that. You're not going to expect RBIs. We get it. You know, he hits in front of the lineup. Expect one thing that least increased in this past year was his runs at 105 versus the prior year at 88 runs. So that's at least a nice uptick in that. But I guess my question is, I will ask you this real quick, Micah. How many steals? I mean, I know it's hard for us to kind of predict, especially with the, you know, the virus going on this year, that, you know, with could be the MLB. Could they have some of the regular season games regress or come to a regression? And if that's the case, do you believe his stolen base will kind of go above 20, or do you believe it's going to be potentially under 20 this year?
If the MLB somehow manages to bunch together 100 games, you know, before the year ends, I think in that time we can count on 20, 25 stolen bases. I think it'll be more just free reign, you know, just going at it because it's such a, you know, you just want to play. So you definitely got to take that into account now. My Merrifield take, I guess it was more so for, you know, prior to all this craziness. But now, right, if you think about it, I guess it really doesn't matter. You might just run wild, you know, for 100 games. So yeah, we'll see.
Absolutely. And I'm going to agree with Jacob, too. If he falls, like, after, like, the 70s or something range, I would pick him up. I couldn't see myself. It doesn't necessarily mean it should be for anybody else that loves him. But I can't see myself picking up in the fifth round range, you know, mm-hmm, in that sense. But I will actually toss you the ball there, Jacob. Is there a guy that you want to bring up here and nominate as far as this year in fantasy?
A guy I want to nominate. Well, I think it's a pitcher that you and me both like there, Micah, and that's Tyler Glasnow. Is it Glasnow?
or is Glass Joe?
Glass Joe. Hello, Super Punch Out. But yeah, there's just been, I don't know if it was just one person, but I saw it a bunch on my Twitter feed just like downing Tyler Glasnow. And I'm just like, did you guys see the start that he had before he got hurt? Like, I mean, like for the year in just like 60 innings pitched, he had a 1.78 ERA and a 0.89 whip with 76 strikeouts versus 14 walks. I mean, he was having a lights out season to where I thought, and I'm sure a few people thought, he's on his way to a Cy Young award winning season. And some people drafted him late or was like a waiver wire dandy. You know, he was killing it. And when he went down with injury, I know a lot of people who held on to him all year and wasted that IL spot ultimately because he never returned. But it's just like he was so good that you can't just drop that talent. Now he's coming back, and like you guys have said, he, you know, like we're going to be in a delay. Who knows how long? Probably a month or two. And, you know, like there have been talks about half season double headers to try to fit all those games in. We're not sure yet, but either way, he's going to have time to completely heal 100%, and he's only 26 years old. So I want to get your thoughts on that, Micah. What do you think of Tyler Glasnow?
Glasnow, he's like, you know, Denelson, I don't know how you say his name, Denelson Lament. I think I got that right. He's a two-pitch pitcher. He has two distinct pitches that are dominant, so it's effective, but it can be predictable. But at the same time, Glasnow, it's just, I don't know the actual, you know, numbers on his vertical drop on his curveball, but when you just watch it on tape, it's ridiculous. You know, you can't really, you know, touch that sometimes. It's untouchable. And the fastball coming at you, you know, it's consistently 96, 97, 98. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, to predict, you know, where to square up on that. And he's on the mound, just him, he's an opposing figure. He's what is he? I don't know how tall he is, but he's a big guy.
He's like 6'10".
6'10", wow.
What?
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, fact check myself.
You see that coming at you 98, you know, that's imposing. That can get you, you know, especially if you're a rookie, so, you know, younger guy that's had much experience. So,
right.
I really like Glasnow. And I think the health concerns are kind of just, you know, based off one bad, unlucky, you know, terrible year. Before that, he had a shoulder injury back in, I think it was 2016, 2017, and that lasted a couple of weeks, but that's about it. You know, nothing structural. He was just, you know, bouncing up and down between the minor leagues, trying to get his, you know, mechanics going, moving to the bullpen, and eventually getting traded. And then here we are. You know?
Right.
So do you guys think his value where he's at right now, do you think it's worth the pickup in drafts right now? I think, what's his ADP? I can't remember. I think it was like 70s or something like that.
In the 70s.
So do you guys believe it's worth the risk, the high risk, high reward, or are you kind of fading away from that?
So for me, I'm personally all in on him. So he is 6'8". So you were right there, Micah. He's 6'8". I mean, that is huge. That's like Randy Johnson tall. You know, I'm not going to compare him to Randy Johnson, but yes. he has incredible talent. You know, like as you said, his velocity, his spin rate, elite. You know, and that's what you want to anchor your fantasy staff, at least as a number two, you know, like have that safe fantasy ace. And then if Glass knows you're number two, you're looking pretty dang good. So I'm willing to draft him somewhere in the 5th to 6th round. Honestly, once I get some hitters and a true ace, I'm definitely going to take that risk. What do you think, Micah?
I'm taking him. I'm not as you said, I'm not taking him as my ace because, you know, if I get to the point of Glasnow and I don't have a starting pitcher, I'm not taking Glasnow. Even if I like him, you know, as much as I like him, I'm not taking him. I'll wait for Sonny Gray or Corey Kluber. But
yeah,
I'll take a batter because I just don't, you know, I don't want to be blamed, you know, for ruining my first starting pitcher because he got, I don't know, something happened or mm-hmm. figured something out. So I definitely agree with you. Get your guy first, then get Glasnow.
Ooh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, if you're playing the Stars and Scrubs, you know, type of drafting in a sense, and you're playing that dangerous game of having him as your ace, I can understand it. But listen, like when he was playing, like obviously last year, and of course he was one of the high touted prospects coming out, right? We know that he just been, you know, injury risk, right? But and again, did you say he had like 2-pitch arsenal? Is that right, Micah?
I believe so.
Right. So in that sense, it's like hopefully, I mean, not hopefully, because I mean, I like Glasnow as well too. I like to actually call him Glass Joe if you guys are with that pitch out. But the thing is with Glasnow is here's another, you know, interesting fact. Again, 5x5 category leagues, a roto that is. In per game value, he's a number 6 pitcher, right? And that's only in 12 games. That's not saying he's going to be that player this year. If he's healthy, he could be an ace, right? But, I mean, I think we all can agree with that, but it just comes onto the heels of if he can stay healthy, right? So that's something to keep in mind. Obviously, that was his first, you know, really good year in the MLB, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But let me kind of transition to a player that I think it's – I see Micah talk about him as well, and this is a guy that I was interested in, and it's the Shoemaster, which is Matt Shoemaker. Now, he's going to be undrafted in a lot of leagues coming up this season. But the thing is, a lot of people didn't know how much of a monster he was in the short game span, and he's actually in a per-game value last year. He was actually ahead of Glasnow, what I'm sure a lot of people wasn't, you know, familiar with. But I think you could take him in the late rounds, you know, because he's been overlooked. And honestly, since the virus has happened, and if you started your league at some point in time, you're going to probably find him in the waiver wire. And I think he's one of the deepest guys that you could pick up as a pitcher. That could be a fourth pitcher on your team that could excel. Obviously, he was injured last year, but I wanted to pick Micah's brain. What's your in-depth analysis on the Shoemaster, which I like to call him Shoemaker there, Micah?
Well, I'm gonna start by talking about the team around him. He'll get some run support if your league counts W's, wins.
Right.
You know, you have fun guys, you know, batting around. You'll get some W's. I say if per 170 inning pitch pace, he'll get 13 to 15 wins. That's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And then you just got him as a pitcher. His arsenal is deep. I believe he has a bunch of changeup, fastball, cutter. A breaking ball, I believe, a slider, curve. I forget what it is, but he has a 5-pitch arsenal.
Whoa.
It's just like, and he knows how to command it. He knows how to use it. And if you have it's almost like you don't really need, you know, 96 miles per hour if you have command of a deep arsenal, because you can fool guys all types of ways, and you can get scattering reports on different guys and use that your pitches to attack different weaknesses. So you have like a stronger outlet to get outs because you have more pitches to use against different players who have different weaknesses. So it's pretty cool. I think he's not a guy that's, you know, talked about a lot, you know, by the general fantasy baseball community, but he needs to be. And I think by the end of the year, he will be. Definitely.
Nice. Jacob, any quick thoughts?
Man, I am all for those, you know, like those like last round dart throws just in case, because like you said, which I had no idea he had such a heart he had such a hot start last year. You know, like there is something there, you know, even though he tore his ACL, which is tough to come back from. But, you know, if he was pitching that well at the beginning of the season, you know, he is around like 33 years old, a little bit up there, you know, like he's a veteran. So like you said, Micah, just because he's not throwing heaters, you know, like 100 miles an hour, it doesn't mean he can't pinpoint exactly where to throw it. You know, like that reminds me of the time where I watched Greg Maddux pitch for the Dodgers. And it was like his last year in, you know, like, and I think like his fastball, I think like it topped out at like 80, 85, you know. So, but as long as you have that massive control, you know, like you can still fool batters. And he does play for the Blue Jays, so I think he gets a value bump in those leagues that don't count wins and just count like quality starts. You know, I think he's a much more valuable commodity. But even so, you want a pitcher in the back of your rotation who can lower your ERA, because he should have an ERA somewhere between 3.5 and 4. You know, if not better. But, you know, like that's probably his floor, which is a solid floor, and it could be higher. So that's definitely worth taking a shot in the later rounds for sure.
Nice. Micah, did you have someone you wanted to nominate there, brother?
Yeah. Let's go with Max Muncy, man.
Love that guy.
Max Muncy. He's one of my favorite players. He's just solid.
That's my boy.
He's solid. Yeah, when you draft him, especially in the on-base percentage league, you're getting that on-base percentage. The B-ball walk percentage is, I believe, 16-point-something. It's ridiculous. It's high. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be on base a lot.
Yeah.
He'll get home runs. The power is there. And obviously, the line is there for RBIs and runs. So he'll get a bunch of counting stats. And I just think at his ADP, he's honestly just a great value. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love Melson.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. We're gonna find someone we don't agree with, but I like Max Muncy too. Of course, Jacob likes him. He's a Dodgers fan, right? Ooh,
that's right.
And it's crazy because what was it? What year was it? Matter of fact, he replicated the season prior before that in 2018 when he had 35 home runs, and in 2019 he had 35 homers. But check this out, like he had less at bats, right? In 2018, 395 at bats. This past year, 487 at bats. So, my goodness, I think he was injured some of this year too, a little bit, or he might have missed. Oh, I think he was not platooning, but some games he didn't play. Yeah. Is that right, Jacob? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The Dodgers like to switch it up and platoon players for sure. But yeah. Max Muncy in any format, he is definitely being overlooked, and I think it's just because he doesn't steal bases and his average is lower than what you want it to be.
Sure.
You know, like in the 2 years that he's been in the league, it's around like 256. So it's not a great average, but it's funny, like in each of his first 2 years, he's hit exactly 35 home runs. Yeah. So you know what you are getting from him, and he's only 29 years old, you know, and he is hitting in the heart of an amazing lineup. You know, like I'm kind of biased, but you know, it's hard not to be when you see Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, all in this lineup, and Max Muncy hitting 4 or 5. So, yeah, it's funny. Like, in our OBP draft yesterday, boys, I saw him go, and I was going to try to wait on him because I needed a pitcher. But to me, he should have been taken in the early third round, and I think he got taken in the fifth, which was still earlier than his ADP. But, I mean, he has a chance to produce like a fourth, probably like a third to fourth rounder, in my opinion, because you know you're getting that 35 plus homers, 95 plus RBIs, almost 100 runs, and probably an average around 260. But, you know, like his OBP, like you were saying, Micah, it's going to be anywhere between 380 and 400, which is insane value for sure.
Nice. And add on to that, Jacob. His XBA is honestly higher than his batting average. So we can, you know, there's a in that lineup, and with the, you know, the patience you have at the plate, that just gives you an advantage of getting more hits because you're seeing the ball better. So over time, you can definitely get, you know, a 270 average. So you could get a guy that's 40 home runs and 270 one year. And that's going to jump, make his ADP jump one day, you know. It's coming. Right. I don't know when, but
it's growing. Oh, yeah. What do you think, Starks?
Awesome. Yeah, my bad. I'm freezing over here. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. No. So, I mean, I agree with you guys here. Again, we're going to run into somewhat. Well, actually, the one thing I disagree with you just a little bit, Jacob, is it's hard for me to see him give a third-round value. Is he a person that could definitely do it? Yeah, absolutely. Just like the XBA that Mike had mentioned as well, too. If that's his expecting batting average, then I can foresee that happening. For some reason, it's just more of a gut feeling that I just don't know if he can give that third round value. I mean, honestly, even last year, he was still around the back end six rounder, you know, in, 5x5 leagues. So that's just something to keep in mind. But he could definitely do it. That's where maybe I just have a little bit of a disagreement on. But I think we're still essentially all the same here. I will go ahead and pitch you the ball there. Jacob, do you have a guy you want to nominate there, brother?
You know what I've been wondering? I've been in a few drafts now, and it seems like all the Astro players always fall to me. I don't know if I'm overvaluing them or if people are just holding a grudge, which I completely understand as a Dodger fan. You know, like the grudge, you know, is real. But I feel like the Astro players always fall to me. I don't know if I'm overvaluing them or not, but I want to bring up a guy who constantly falls, and especially in our TGFBI league, he fell, and that's Jose Altuve. I want to talk about him, but there's a few, like George Springer falls, Jose Altuve falls, Yordan Alvarez. I think he's really underrated myself, but I know that he only offers one position for now. But I want to talk about Jose Altuve and wondering why, like, he offers a mixed bag of everything. I know he doesn't steal the 30 bases he stole in 2017 anymore, but he still offers, you know, like 25 plus homers, 80 ribbies, 100 plus RBIs, well into the 300s of batting average. So I'm just curious why he's not getting love. Or is it a grudge thing? Is it he's getting old? I mean, he's 29. So I want to ask you, Micah, do you agree with me, or do you think that he and some Astro players, they're like headed down? I don't know.
The thing with Altuve is weird because his sprint speed isn't changing. He's still fast.
Right.
I looked up earlier this year. He's still a fast guy. So he's just not, for some reason, maybe he's scared of being, you know, injured or something. Maybe he understands his importance to the team. So I don't know, but he's still fast. He's just not running. So, but that aspect of not running, especially in roto leagues, people just they see it and then they don't want to take the risk, which is understandable. I get it. But yeah, in regards to just pure talent, he had an amazing second half last season when he got back from injury. People doubted. He was hitting like 250, maybe below that in early spring.
Right.
And then he burst onto the scene and, you know, the rest of the season just went crazy. And that was the Altuve we're used to seeing from the past. And, you know, that's what we'll see for the next few years, I think. So definitely a guy that I definitely take if he falls, you know, fourth round, late third.
So before we get to Starks, I actually think in a 5x5 roto, he should be taken early third. Now, is that way too early?
Early third, I guess it all depends on who you take before him. You know,
yeah.
If are you trying to get, did you get, you know, I don't know, Acuna first overall? I guess a pitcher first overall. So I guess it depends on who you're, you know, drafting your plan or drafting around, you know, in the first couple rounds.
Right. What do you think, Starks?
Oh man, this has always been tough for me. I actually said last year I felt like Jose Altuve would kind of be on a regression because, I mean, Micah had said it, like, if his speed is still the same, I'm just like, why aren't you running bases? Only six stolen bases. I mean, that's tough. You draft him for that, but the average goes along with it. Now, like you kind of mentioned as well, Jacob, you know, with Houston Astros in particular, are we afraid to draft those players? In a sense, I'll be honest, I am. If the player falls to me, sure. If I'm getting a good value, then I wouldn't think twice, and then I would draft them, right? Because I think it's fair to say, regardless, you know, the Astros, they cheated fine, but I think we can all agree they're a good team, right, mm-hmm. beside the cheating. But the thing is, that's, again, what, just 6 stolen bases last season? Now, do I expect him to maybe get double digits this season? I mean, potentially, could he? But I draft him for the speed purposes, and I just kept seeing it, you know, dwindle down, and that's a concern for me. His batting average has kind of condensed and regressed as well, too, so that's something that is bothering me. But at the same time, second baseman, there's players that's coming up, like, you know, Marte is one of those second basemen that's coming up in Arizona, and there's other players like Ozzy Albies. But Jose Altuve is someone still you need to consider. But for me, I just can't pay the back end second round. Maybe third, back end third, mid third round, I might draft him. But for that's the best I can do for him.
That's fair.
So I will transition to at least one more player that I'll go ahead and nominate. And it's only fair for me to nominate because it's no purpose of this at all, but I just have to say it, the Lizard King, man. I think we all are fans of the Lizard King a little bit. And even in our listener league, I drafted too high on him. I know that. I had no fear in that. But the thing is, I remember this, he had shades of, when I'm high on a player, I go all in. Kind of like Chris Paddock last year. I was all in on him last year. And that might not have been the favorite in some, but obviously as the echo and hype train had continued to go on, people started to, you know, get into that flow in drafting Chris Paddock. Can you guys hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
I keep breaking out here. But so am I saying he's going to be as good as Chris Paddock? No, you know, I'm not saying that. But am I going to basically ride the ship until it falls? Maybe it falls. Yeah, potentially. You know, with the innings that I think they said, one of the coaches said that he's not going to have an innings limit. And then at the same time with the Major League Baseball, with this situation with the coronavirus, I mean, he's probably not going to have a cap on innings limits. Sure, so. Sure. That's a beautiful thing. We know he has great stuff. I'm all in on him. And again, I paid for him. I mean, you should draft him, honestly, just to be on the real side after the hundreds, right? But I was aggressive and drafted him in the 70s or 80s. Michael, what's your thoughts on the Lizard King, Jesus Luzardo there, man?
He's nasty, man. And honestly, at this point, with like you said, with the shortened season, there's no risk in drafting him in the 70s or 80s. His ADP could easily be right near, you know, guys like Greinke, and I wouldn't look at it wrong. That's pretty good to me. Well, he's going to be solid. He showed it in spring training. He's dominating guys. He has 4 pitches, curveball, sinker, changeup, 4-seamer. You know, slider a little bit, but and he throws in short sample size, only 12 innings last year. But he threw his curveball, you know, the most. So he trusts his curveball, and it's a dominant pitch. That's what gets most of his, you know, strikeouts. So I like him. I like him a lot.
Nice, Jacob.
Yeah, I like him too. I don't like him as much as you do, Starks. You know, like I don't love him, but I do like him a lot just because of what I saw from him when they finally. Well, like, you know, like when rosters expanded last September, you know, like he was called up and he was a dominant relief pitcher for him, for the A's here. So I definitely think he has all the tools to become a future ace. You know, he has 4 pitches, you know, and he was, you know, I think, you know, if we look back at his stats in, let's just go back to what he averaged in the minors here. You know, he had a 2.53 ERA and a 1.04 WHIP with 234 strikeouts in 195 innings. So he does have that strikeout upside. You know, he's going to strike out a lot of people. I would just, to invest that high of a pick in him like you did, I think, in the 80s, Starks.
Yeah.
I need to see that first, but
sure, if
he is what he should be, the ace that the Washington Nationals drafted him to be and then traded him as a key piece for Sean Doolittle for, then he should confirm that pick. I just want to see it more first, you know, like a longevity standpoint when I am drafting that much. Like, I would take a stab in him in the middle rounds, like maybe like in the ninth or tenth round, I'd go for it. Sure. It's just a little bit too rich for my blood to take him in the seventh or so round.
Sure, I understand that. So we'll transition to some of our, you know, the listener league that we did. And honestly, listeners, we appreciate you guys in a sense. I know we took a while to do this podcast, so I do apologize for that. So I'm just going to, like, highlight, like, Micah's team real quick. And I'm trying to – I like that Frankie Montas pick, man, at 104. I thought that was a steal there. You actually had a very good draft, by the way. And I wanted to pick your brain, you know, what's your thoughts on just Frankie Montas this year, man, in Oakland?
Montas, in some ways, I like him more than Lizardo. I hate to put it like that, but just for now, just because we've seen it. And yeah, people like to say, PEDs are to blame. But this guy, you know, he has legitimate stuff, you know. His splitter is nasty, you know, solid four-seamer, controls his pitches, you know, he'll keep the whip down, he'll have the strikeouts up, you know, I like him a lot. I think him and Lizardo are just going to be like a 1-2 punch over there in Oakland. You'll get similar value from them year after year, good value from them year after year. Nice. I like Montas a lot.
Nice, and now I'll touch up on another guy you picked up. You went shortstop heavy, but I think it's only because the value came your way. It only makes sense with getting, you know, Francisco Lindor, Bogarts as well. And Corey Seager, listen, man, I know it's like that's a really good pick. You got him in 128, like 11th round. Like, I feel like Corey Seager is still a good player. I don't know why people are starting to fade from him in a sense. Could you answer that to the listeners on why you think people and why his ADP has dropped, you know, drastically, man?
It's just – he's been around for a while. He's one of those young guys that comes up when they're young, the hype is up, and you expect them to succeed right out the gate, and they don't. And for whatever reason that is, from injuries to, you know, not developing fast as you would like them to develop, stuff like that. And that's what happened with Seager. He's 25, and he has a whole career ahead of him, to be honest. This could be the second, you know, quote-unquote phase of his career that could be starting this year, next year. So I want to jump on that. You know, when that starts, his value is going to jump. And I want to get the value before it jumps to third, fourth round shortstop. I think it will. I don't know when, but it's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any touch up on your boy there, Corey Seager? I mean, everybody's your boy in the Dodgers there, Jacob. Do you want to touch up on him at all, man?
Nah, man. I mean, I just echo, bro. He was such a hot prospect for us before he got called up, and then he killed it. But like, injuries have been plaguing him over the past 2 years. He's like nagging injuries in and out of the lineup. So yeah, you're getting incredible value this year for him if he drops at the right price. I love it. So yeah, absolutely, Seager boy over here.
So yeah, I'm gonna touch up on a couple of players in your team, Jacob. So I understand the industry and even the ADP's drop in a first rounder, which is Nolan Arenado, but I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I get it, you know, they got the mentions of him going somewhere else and Colorado, obviously he's a hitter's park and, you know, all that stuff. And to be honest, he wasn't playing good in other ballparks, but honestly, listen, if he gets moved somewhere else, he'll figure it out because he's that much of a good hitter. But for him to be ranked, I think he was like 14th, you know, coming into this, you know, this year. And you picked him up at 9. Honestly, I think that's still good. To me, in my personal opinion, he's still like a top 5, top 6 player in category leagues. So I want to, you know, get your outlook on, you know, Arenado real quick on that.
Okay, so before I made that pick, I was actually crossing my fingers and hoping that Juan Soto would drop to me. Juan Soto is going to be an OBP monster, and unfortunately, our boy Micah over here was picking right there, and so he took him. I was like, that's a great pick, because, like, Juan Soto is young. Why did I say Juan Soto? Juan Soto. Man, Soto. I didn't say that 5 times fast. Sweet. Like, gosh, Juan Soto. Yeah, no, so to go back to your question, so after Soto was gone, I thought it was a pretty easy pick for me just because I am a fan of consistency, and Nolan Arenado is you can bank on 30 homers, 100 RBIs and 300 average, and you wouldn't even blink your eye. It's just like, yes, that's what he's going to do. He's only 28 years old. He's in Colorado. There have been a lot of rumors about him being traded, about being unhappy, but nothing's happened, so I'm going to draft him as if he's going to be a Rocky the whole year, you know? And so I like him as well as like a top five to top eight player, just because in the first round, I don't take any risks. I go for it. That's why if I were to have the first pick, I would go with Mike Trout, just because that, you know what you're getting, and yeah. Beautiful. So that's why I went. That's why I went with Nolan Arenado at 9 for sure. I did want to go into the second round here. I know
Astro Funds. Go ahead.
Yes. So I chose Alex Bregman over Francisco Lindor. That's probably not a popular thing to do, but as far as OBP, Francisco Lindor's OBP has a little bit of a ceiling, you know, at like a 350 range, which is still great. He gives you five categories, which is amazing. And looking back at it now, I probably would have made that pick looking at the structure of my team. But at the time, I'm like, Alex Bregman, he's like a 35 to 40 homer guy, 100 to 115 RBI guy. His OBP should be anywhere around 400. So I think I let OBP take over my mindset when I was drafting. But that's why I chose Bregman. But I will say, Micah, and I want to transition to you. You did get incredible value there with Lindor. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I didn't hesitate. I was like, why? How did this happen? But Bregman, it's a different league. It's not an average league. It's an on-base percentage league.
Right.
And getting 400, you know, guaranteed with that ridiculous, you know, split. I think his walk percentage was greater than his strikeout percentage last year. Something crazy. He's elite. And so you know you're getting at least 380 on base percentage, you know, for a season. And that's something you can definitely, you know, take to the bank. But Lindor, yeah, I like my steel guys early, and I had to take him. I had to take him.
Yeah.
I was going to take him for a Soto, but I realized Soto wasn't going to be there if I waited. So I took him.
Right. Nice, man.
So yeah, you end up taking some more. You did the Astro party, man, with Bregman, Jose Altuve right after that, then Zach Greinke. Also,
that's sweet. All these Astros are just falling to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. You know, I don't know.
I love Greinke though. I love Greinke.
I do as well. Yeah. I think, you know, he's so I didn't like him when he was with the Diamondbacks, but I think he's in a perfect situation with the Astros. Mm-hmm. I think they are maximizing his talent. He's, you know, like, you know, like, he has stated in the past he only goes where the money is. He doesn't care about winning, but he has won now, you know, whether that's cheating or not. Well, you know, what's cheating? But, you know, I just feel like he has an incredible offense behind him, and his ERA should be sub 3 with the strikeouts are plentiful. So, yeah, I like Greinke this year for sure. So, Starks, are there any players on your squad that you want to highlight?
Sure, I will. But what? How old is Zach Greinke? Is he like 37, 38 or something like that?
What?
I think he's 36.
36? I just need to know when he's going to fall off a bridge.
I don't think he might ever, but you might be.
Exactly, he might not. that's like that Justin Verlander. You only get stronger as you get older, man.
That's right, man, like fine wine.
I will say this, one more player on your team that I understand I think he was started out hot and then he started cooling down, is your boy Josh Bell. You got him at 88. What's your thoughts on that, you know, real quick, Jacob, on, you know, Josh Bell? Because I know he got cold at the end of the season last year.
So at least for me, my mindset was that first base was drying up quick and he was dropping, at least as far as my rankings go. Like, I still think that he's going to post, you know, like 30 plus homers, 90 plus RBIs with okay average, like 260, 270. OPP though, he can take a walk. Last year his OBP was 367. Even the year before that, when he didn't do much, his OPP was 357. So he was one of the last power bats at first base that I can bank, you know, like 25 to 35 homers. You know, like, he's going to, you know, I think the power is real, and I think his ADP is definitely lower than what it should be. I think that last year's breakout was real. He's 27 years old. He's a big dude. If you've ever seen him on TV or in person, he is a big dude. You know, he reminds me, he's like as big as Ryan Howard, but he can hit more consistently than Ryan Howard, of course. So, I mean, I love Bell this year. I wouldn't mind taking him in like the sixth round, but he's being drafted as if he's being taken in like the ninth round. So if he falls to you in the eighth to ninth round, I jump all over it.
Nice. So I'll just touch up on my team. My team is okay. One thing I definitely like about – it's like I basically punted whatever average or OBP, which is the OBP league, and that's what I kind of forgot as I was drafting too. So I like to get those players that strong barrel rate, the hard hit rates, right? So like Joey Gallo, Fermil Reyes, like those are the type of guys that I definitely like. I just like them power guys. I'm a sucker for them. And honestly, you know, I look at it like this. You hit a home run, you're going to get runs. You're going to get RBIs. You get a home run, right? So, yes, is it going to, you know, hurt your average in probably your OBP? Yeah, absolutely. But that's something I typically ignore. So I got Fermir, and I'm hooked on finest guys, Reyes. I got him at 106, and I got Joey Gallo at 82. You know, Michael, what's your thoughts on those two guys in particular, man?
Fermil, man, I love Fermil. He last year, I got to look into it as in regards to if his average suffered because of just, you know, bad luck, maybe a low BABIP. But the power is real. It's ridiculous. He had multiple two home run games. He showed it all season. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no doubt about that. It's just about, you know, consistently putting the ball in the play and getting hits to put him to the next level. And this spring, he's been raking, you know. And then he lost weight. I think he lost 15 pounds. And, you know, he stole a base this spring. So, like, if he has a little aspect of stolen bases to the team, you know, where's the value go then? Top 100? I don't know. But I like Reyes a lot. I haven't got any shares yet this season. I don't know how, but he just keeps avoiding me. We'll see. We'll see if I can get a share eventually. Yeah. And then we got Gallo, man. And Gallo's a guy. He'll get you. It's a, you know, category league. If you want to secure a bunch of home runs, you know, with some counting stats, get Gallo. We'll give it to you. If he stays healthy, of course.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Nice, Jake. What's your thoughts on those two?
So I'm going to. I'll be honest. I'm not a Franmil guy. No. I'm not a Franmil guy. Just because I like my average, you know, like I don't want to punt my average. Sure. You know, his average wasn't completely in the toilet last year, but it was in the 250s, you know. So it's like I try to avoid those guys if at all possible. But that doesn't mean that the power's not real. So if you need some power, Franmil is your guy. But I personally wouldn't look his way until around the 10th round. You know, just that's just my style, though. I do like what I'm hearing, though. He's lost some weight. He actually stole a base. So if he can add some more to his game, you know, like that's solid. You know, like so his OPP, he's in Cleveland now. I assume it should go up just because Progressive Field is a little bit more of a hitter's friendly park than Safe or no, Petco. Sorry. It's Petco still, right?
I think it is Petco, isn't it?
San Diego? Sorry.
I think it's Petco. I think so.
But I think he has a better lineup around him in Cleveland anyway. So I think he should do better. He's just not my cup of tea personally, as far as his ADP go. And then Joey Gallo, I actually think really highly of him, though. You know, his average stinks, but he's going to hit you 40 bombs. So if you can guarantee me 40 bombs and you're going to get me runs and RBIs and some stolen bases, like he's not like a complete, you know, like he's not a speedster, but he should get you, I don't know, like three to eight stolen bases, you know? Like it's not a ton, but it's like, hey, a nice bonus. So I like when you get like 40 homers and at least like 5 stolen bases. But yeah, I like Gallo a lot better than Franmil, and I wouldn't mind taking him around like the, you know, like the 5th to 6th round. When did you get him, Starks?
So I got Gallo at 82, and then I got Reyes at 106.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah, so Gallo, last year, he had an average at around like 250, which was around like the Fran Mill average, but his OBP was 389. So, you know, he knows how to get on base. So, you know that your runs are safe. If he does strike out, you will get some runs. But, you know, like 40 plus homers is hard to turn down at around like the 6th to 7th round for sure.
Nice. And I'll just touch up on two more guys off my team. These are some weird, I have a lot of weird players, but I don't know. I just like the weirdness of drafting like around the end. And one of the people is David Price and Robbie Ray. They was like 154, 159. Mm-hmm. And I'll touch up on one hitter. Gosh, there's actually two hitters, but I'll just leave it at CJ Crone at 226. Like, oh, man. When it comes to pitching, obviously you want to shoot. Obviously, I think what we kind of get – I wouldn't say we get confused. I know for me, when I've been in a lot of fantasy leagues over the years, like 10 – I've been playing for a decade, 10-plus years in fantasy baseball. And one thing is really important that I think is overlooked. Obviously, having a great hitting team is great, but pitchers are so valid. Like, if you can get an ace, right, we always try to strive to get what's the top three aces? What is like
DeGrom.
Max Scherzer, DeGrom, and Cole. Who's the other guy? Cole. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people are starting to jump on Strasburg. I'm going to be honest, I would be scared to draft Strasburg. That's just my opinion because was this his first year he was healthy throughout the season? So I would be all out on him. So in a sense, you want to try to reach out for the new wave of pitchers. Like obviously Chris Paddock is a lot higher up. Walker Buehler is higher up, which I drafted this season. So I actually drafted with David Price and Robbie Ray. David Price, I look at it like this. I know he's older. He wasn't really the best last year, but he's playing with the Dodgers, right? So I think he's going to need innings. They're going to need to pitch him out there. So I think the opportunity presents himself. And as Mike has said, like if you're playing for a good ballpark team, then wins is counts, right? And this is the league that we're in when wins counts. It's not quality starts. So I think his chances, as long as he's in the rotation, he's going to get wins there. I don't think he's going to crap the bed. Robbie Ray, you know what you're going to get from him. He's just a strikeout artist. But I think there was some glimpse of him during the Grapefruit League that he's played a little bit better. So if he doesn't work out, I can cut bait with him, no problem. But you know you're going to get them strikeouts. As far as CJ Crone, at 226 range, I thought I cut a massive coupon on him. He's still a good first baseman, very under the radar. And I think he was doing well until he injured his hand last season. So I definitely like that pick. Mike, any thoughts on any of those guys there, man?
Definitely Crone, man. I love Crone. I love his value. I'm going to bring some numbers here. His barrel percentage was 15.0% last year, and that's pretty high. Mm-hmm. That's pretty high. It's an on-base percentage league. He's not going to get you, a 10.0, walk percentage. He won't get you that. But he'll get you the power for sure. And he hit 253, but his XBA was over 20 points higher.
Wow.
So he has, that could mean some positive aggression is coming. And he'll get the playing time with the Tigers.
Yep. Yep.
He'll get the experience, So I like him. He's a sleeper.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Jacob?
Yeah, I wanted to touch up on David Price. So I'm thrilled that the Red Sox kind of like threw him into the deal, as like a please take him, just because he is a solid guy, a solid vet, and when it comes to playoff time, you're going to need that. I just worry from a fantasy standpoint that the Dodgers are going to use kid gloves on him just because he's had elbow issues for a while now, and that could flare up at any moment. And I know that if he feels any tenderness, anything at all, the Dodgers are just going to shut him down because the Dodgers have way too much pitching depth in their system to let him pitch injured. He's 34 years old. He's coming off a little bit, he had a solid season, but he had starts where he got lit up, and it was because of that elbow. So I think that longevity is an issue here. So I know that you got him late. So it's like if he gets hurt, you just stash him or you drop him. It's all good. Yeah. And if he plays as if he played in 2018, where he pitched 176 innings, then you're going to get massive value. So it's worth the risk that late for sure. I wouldn't bank on him any earlier than that. Where you got him, I think you got him in the 150s, which I think is fair.
Nice. So typically, if you guys are familiar with Take a Ride podcast, we take a clutch shot. So obviously the baseball podcast, I think it's time to close. So we're in the ninth inning. We're going to close on something, right? So as you know, coffee's for closers, and I think we're here to close. So, Jacob, I'll give you the opportunity, the first honors to close. Do you want to close on something that's burning in you?
Absolutely, yeah. So for my closing pitch for my sinker or for my splitter here.
Okay.
I want to give some love to Kenley Jansen. He's been so before last year he was like a top five, top three closer. He was a beast, and I know he had a terrible year last year where his ERA was around 3.70. He blew like 8 save chances. Like, it stunk. So he knows that. He is an incredible pitcher, and the Dodgers are going to provide him a lot of save chances. So I think his ADB or his ADP I think it's around the hundreds, but I wouldn't be afraid to grab him there or grab him a little bit earlier. If you do need a closer, I think his ratios will come back to where we expect him to be. So Kenley Jansen is still a pitcher that you can rely on next year.
Nice, nice. And Micah, do you have a closing pitch for the listeners, man?
Yeah, we'll do the knuckle curve. I like the knuckle curve.
Whoa.
And this it's not about a player, just about so FanTrax dropped their 2021 projected top 50 prospects today. And I was reading it, and I was it's kind of shocking how good the Mariners are going to be in a few years in regards to Noebly Marte, shortstop prospect. He'll be up in 3 to 4 years. Then you got Julio Rodriguez, who'll be up 2 to 3 years. And then Kelenic, who could be up this year, but probably not because of all this, you know, craziness. So he's a 2021 guy. But they're super talented, and I don't know, it's exciting to see that franchise, you know, about to be ready to maybe go to the playoffs now consistently. That's pretty fun.
Nice. So I guess my closing pitch, I'm just going to throw a fastball down the middle. Hopefully it doesn't get knocked out of the park. And honestly, probably will, because what I'm about to say is, listeners, man, I know you need the saves in your league, right? So I just can't do it unless I'm getting hater. I don't care about closing or closers in particular, but it doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't care. You should care, right? But each year it seems like closers just change. It's like it's literally musical chairs you're playing unless, again, you have hater. And hopefully hater will be fine. He should be. But everybody else, I mean, there's a couple other guys that's good, but you're going to be playing musical chairs, and I just don't want to play that game. So what you could do is draft some of those back-end closers, and it's probably not going to pan out, right? But that's why you got to have your nose in the waiver wire. What? So was it Mark Melanson from, you know, Atlanta Braves? He's supposedly closing, but it could be the other guy, right? So it just you just got to be a person that's going to always have your nose in the waiver wire. And honestly, you're going to have to take flyers on guys you think could potentially be the closer of the team. But if you're going to punt closers, don't just go all out. But I think you should get a couple of closers and see what happens, because some could formulate, and the ones that you pick on the back end could be the top tier guys as the year goes on. So that's going to be my closing pitch. So with that said, you guys can follow me on my Twitter handle. It's @Starks_industry. You can also find me on Instagram, m.starkspowell. Jacob, where can I find you at, man?
You can find me on Twitter @AintDoneYet, and done is spelled D-U-N-N-E. I would love for you guys to follow me and ask me any questions, and also just know that we are praying for you, and we hope that everyone out there is safe.
Nice. Micah, where can I find you at, man?
You can find me on Twitter @FantasyCentral1. That's the number one. And yeah, as Jacob said, this is a tough time, honestly. I've been praying a lot lately. And it's just, you know, we got to continue, because a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people's lives are changing forever. And that's something we got to focus on and try to help as much as possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Echo to the team with that. We're definitely praying for you guys out there. And it makes you really think. Sometimes we take things for granted. You know, we can go to the store. I know out here in Ohio, I'm going to a store looking for toilet paper, but I'm sure everybody knows that. You're not going to find any. And then, like, water, you know, driving around for hours looking at it. I mean, this is glimpses of the end of day. So I just, my prayers is that I hope everybody comes to the opportunity and pray, and, you know, things will get better. And I'm praying that does a lot sooner than later. So listeners, we enjoy you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a good evening, morning, and afternoon.